Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. There is a different energy when the Premier and the Minister of Health show up to a funding announcement. To have Doug Ford and Christine Elliott, along with local MPP David Pacini, handing out major money for Northumberland Hills Hospital and Campbellford Memorial Hospital is very exciting. But with any funding announcement, there are a lot of numbers to sort through. The $5.8 million announced last week is really made up of money the government already said it was spending on the hospital in an announcement it made last November. That's right, the $3.8 million back then makes up the lion's share. The great news is that government is adding $1 million to that sum. Now, on top of that, there's another lump sum payment the hospital gets every year to compensate it for the number of surgeries and other procedures it does. That's what brings up the total to $5.8 million. So the new money coming to us is $1 million. The rest was already announced or the hospital knew it was coming. I hope that keeps things clear, because you're going to hear all these details in the interview. And I hope you'll learn just how the money is beneficial, so there's a lot more to this than just numbers. So here's my conversation with Linda Davis, CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital. I am so pleased to have with me today the Chief Executive Officer of the Northumberland Hills Hospital, Linda Davis. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure for me to be with you again.
It seems like Christmas in July. The Premier and the Minister of Health and a local MPP held a press conference last week outside the hospital to make a major funding announcement. Can you tell us what it was about?
I certainly can, and it was like Christmas in July for sure, Rob. I think it was the definitive response from the province recognizing that medium-sized hospitals like NHH had been underfunded just through the formula, and it was a correction of that. The opportunity for base funding of over $5 million to come to Northumberland Hills Hospital, and by base, that means it will be here this year and again next year and the year after that ongoingly. That really means the stability for our organization and the ability to maintain the core services that we've been providing to our community and be able to expand the number of beds that we've been operating within our hospital.
Could you just remind us once more how many beds you have that are operating and how much difference this money will make?
Certainly. Well, the hospital was built for 137 beds. And up until probably, I guess, certainly even 2 years ago, we were probably operating, or 3 years ago, operating under 100 of those. We have continued to only be funded for 108. And truly, that has always been a challenge because we've been operating. Last year, our average was probably 115 to 120. And today I believe we're at over 120 patients in our hospital. So truly the funding allows us to ensure that we can permanently hire nursing staff and open those beds and actually provide the services to our community that are needed.
The last time we had a conversation in November, though, you mentioned this, almost the same thing. You received $3.8 million in annualized funding that you're going to get year after year. And you said the same thing, that we would be able to open these beds. What's the difference between that announcement and this announcement?
Certainly, Rob, you're right. It was announced last fall. And at that point in time, it was considered in-year funding. Which the Treasury Board doesn't recognize as, quote, base until it's actually allocated within a budget year as part of the beginning budget year. So this announcement actually is confirming that $3.79 million as base on an ongoing basis, as well as this year, we were the recipient of another $1.1 million in additional funds for 2020-2021. So that really brought it closer to the $5 million. There's some one-time funding, some other funding, so it does reach up to the 5.6, I think, that the Premier talked about. But truly, it's $5 million of base funding. So we started to open those beds last fall, and we've started to raise, to hire staff. We, in fact, reopened or redistributed our beds across two of the units on our second floor and hired more staff. We've been able to continue to do that. And this reassurance allows us to make that happen and to even go further, which we have wanted to do because of COVID. We had wanted to be able to provide the capacity for surge. This funding allows us to think that we can certainly do that. And be prepared to support our community.
It gets a bit confusing for the average individual to understand all these numbers. You got $3.8 million that was promised to be annualized funding. So that's part of the $5 million that you've received this time around. So what is new money to you then? What amount, just so we're very clear, what is new money that was announced last week?
$1.1 million additional to our base was announced as of last week, and that is this year, 2021. So that is in addition to the 3.79 that was annualized. The other money is something that we get every year, but it is not considered base. It is based on our volumes of quality-based procedures that we do, number of surgeries we do, cataracts, those sorts of things. So again, that is money that comes in each year. And those funds add up to about the other $600,000 that I spoke of.
Thank you very much for making that much clearer. Now, it's great to get money, but in your annual report this past year, you showed a $1.7 million surplus. Can you explain why we need that additional money?
Well, that 1.7 surplus was because of the in-year funding that was received. And so, in fact, it was money that we hadn't been able to spend because it came late in the year. I think the other piece of that surplus, hospitals are best run with a 1-2% surplus on an annual basis. That allows for the opportunities. For example, when COVID hit, we didn't have to go to the bank to borrow money to be able to expand the things that we needed to do or to implement new procedures. We had that money within our account to be able to work with. So a surplus is an important factor for every hospital, and financially viable and stable organizations or hospitals certainly run, as I said, to a 1-2% surplus. The 1.7 was a 2% surplus for us, and what is expected by Ontario Health for us to try to run. That funding will actually now, we've been able to move $1 million of it into a protected fund that we will be putting towards the cost of our clinical information system, which we are looking to refresh in a year and a half. Those kinds of dollars that we're able to put aside will actually help us with those very large equipment costs. Again, the government does not fund equipment. Our community, our very generous community, has stepped up year after year and supported our ability to purchase equipment, but we also need to try to help ourselves. And so this type of operating surplus allows us to put that aside and to use for large capital purchases.
How has the response to the pandemic impacted the fiscal bottom line?
Well, it certainly has increased our costs. Again, we've been asked to track all of our costs. One of the things that occurred, even though we may have slowed some of our operations, and we redeployed those staff, but we purchased additional equipment. We purchased additional personal protective equipment, the PPE. Those were all costs that we had to bear. We have been asked to track all of those costs. I think the submitted costs that we've had for the first two or three months of the pandemic averages about $300,000. So that's just additional cost. The other piece that occurred because of the pandemic is the lost revenue, and we will not be able to recoup the lost revenue. For example, our ability to, we raised our parking gates and we felt that was the most important thing to do. So we raised our parking gates and we lost parking income, which goes directly to patient care. So COVID is impacting our bottom line. And right now we're still okay because of the funding that we have. And we're hopeful, the ministry has said to track all of our costs. We are hopeful that that certainly the expenses will be reimbursed. The lost revenue, we've been told, will not be reimbursed.
So what does that mean for your overall fiscal picture then?
I think it'll depend on how long this runs. I think as we stand right now, we are still balanced in terms of being into our, just towards the end of our first quarter. But I think we are still in a balanced position. If COVID continues or resurges again in the fall, it really will depend on what type of costs there are. And again, whether or not we can expect repayment from the government.
The Ontario Nurses Association has raised concerns about a promised premium pay that they have not received. Is the hospital playing a role in seeking this compensation for them?
Oh, definitely. You mean the pandemic pay? We refer to it as pandemic pay. Okay. Yes. And in fact, we have. We've been working with our hospital partners on that as well to be able to understand. Up until probably only about 2 weeks ago, there was a lack of clarity in exactly which staff were eligible and the payment. We have now worked through that. We are in fact gathering what are called attestations from staff in order to be able to receive the funding. We need to receive an attestation from each staff member that may be eligible, that then we can compensate them. At this point in time, we are in concert with our peer hospitals going forward to make this payment in August. And that has been made known to both the staff and Ontario Health.
Has that had an impact on performance, do you think, by staff?
That's a difficult question, Rob. I think that, our staff have been absolutely fabulous throughout this whole time. We've had people step up to the plate. There was never any questions asked in terms of redeployment. They were at the front door being screeners. They were working in our assessment clinic. All of them just really rose to the challenge. Nursing staff, all of our auxiliary staff, our physicians. I think what the pandemic pay, unfortunately, having identified certain staff to receive it and not others, has created a challenge or has a potential for a challenge to create some diversity or some divestment, and not divestment, some division, that's my right word, division amongst our staff. And that is something that we wished did not happen. Unfortunately, we cannot. We've been told very clearly that we cannot use any government funds to pay staff who are not eligible. So we cannot, even though we may think that it's important all staff get this payment, we cannot make that payment. The government has decided who will. So I think it's a sensitive subject.
In our conversation last November, you talked about a number of initiatives that you were very enthusiastic about, especially with the funding announcement at that time. You talked about hospital renovations, you talked about hirings and so forth. What's the status of those plans?
Well, I have to say we're very, very happy in terms of hiring. I think if you look at the two different numbers in our annual report from this past last year and then this year that was just published, I think the numbers are over 100 more staff have been hired since, just under 100. Thank you, Jennifer, for that clarification. Just under 100 new staff have been hired since last year's annual report being published. So we have brought on new staff. I think we are close to 745 staff. And that has meant the ability to, as I said, open some of those beds. Some of the changes we made was we redistributed one of the units that had gotten very large. We made the change 3 years ago, I guess, when we went in through our hospital improvement plan, in order to try to be efficient, we took two smaller units and put them into one area. That seemed fine until our surge really hit, and suddenly our level of occupancy was much higher. A unit that was supposed to be 36 beds was suddenly 50 beds. And we knew that that was not workable. It was noisy. It was a long distance for staff to travel. So we redistributed those beds across the two physical areas. And we also then opened up more beds and hired more staff. So those changes happened. In terms of renovations, we were underway. We weren't able to get those started because of COVID-19. We do have starting back up again, and hope to be able to make those renovations happen before, some of them before the year end, and certainly before the next fiscal year.
Now, you also mentioned the talk of a new medical center adjacent to the hospital. Can you bring us up to date on that?
That's one of my still wish projects, Rob. We have been working really to create a health center, an opportunity for us to be able to take some of the services within, for example, our ambulatory care area and have it in a different site. We'd love to be able to bring community mental health a little closer to the hospital, because there's a lot of interplay between the staff, between Emerge and our community mental health program. We'd love to be able to ensure that physicians who we can recruit physicians to our community, that they have space and office spaces to rent. So that health center is important to us. At this point, we have not been able to get the last proposal off the ground, and we're still hopeful. It's something that we are looking to try to find another opportunity for.
There was the announcement around the Ontario Health Team Northumberland, and we heard a lot about it. What's going on with that? Has any of this money been allocated for that project?
Certainly, I have to say, in terms of the Ontario Health Team, I believe that some of the silver lining in this pandemic is that has brought us to realize how important those partnerships are across health and social service agencies. We met weekly, virtually, of course, but we met weekly. We exchanged communication. We exchanged personal protective equipment. A number of my colleagues brought the hospital masks that they weren't using and various other pieces. So the Ontario Health Team really proved, certainly to me, that the strength of working together meant that we were providing for our community a consistent approach, consistent message. We had common communication. So some really good efforts throughout the time of COVID. I think that we were, as you're probably aware, we had three key projects that the OHTN was hoping to get underway in this first year. And one of them was a community outreach clinic in Colborne. We do have a space that the township has, in fact, municipality has made available to us, and we were looking to do some renovations and purchase some equipment. The hospital actually, through some of the surplus that we had from the past year, we had the agreement of Ontario Health that we could use that surplus for some of that renovation, helping to support paving of the driveway and the parking lot in that clinic area, as well as to purchase the equipment. And that was money that was made available through the hospital. Again, all of our OHTN partners have donated or have dedicated some of their budget, a portion of their budget, to support these projects. And the hospital was just able to kick in a bit extra because of the surplus that we had this past year.
As we're moving into the stage three of the reopening of the economy, and there's a relaxing of requirements and guidelines, what is your greatest fear as a hospital?
Well, Rob, I think this is what kept me awake in the first couple of weeks and month of our pandemic. And this morning I woke up at 3 a.m, could not get back to sleep, probably for some of that reason. I think that, and it's somewhat human nature, for many people, we have had to be apart from family. We've been apart from social gatherings. Many people may have lost income. With reopening, I think people are ready to get back to what they knew before. And my concern is, I don't think that we should be letting go of a lot of those practices that we learned were important as we went into this pandemic. So I think it's really important that, yes, we want to reopen, but we need to do it very, very cautiously. We need to continue to social distance. We need to continue to practice good hand hygiene. And again, very supportive of the masking in public. I think that that is just really common sense and respect for each other. I know when I put my mask on, I'm protecting the other individual from me. I hope that everyone else will protect me from them. So I really support the fact of everyone wearing a mask. So I am cautious in thinking that we can manage this without having a reoccurrence or a surge of COVID. I am hopeful, but I think we'll be watching it very, very carefully.
If you could give policymakers a piece of advice or urge them to do something, what would it be?
Policymakers, I think it's to, that's a really good question. I think in some ways, the pandemic has recognized that many things could stop. Do we need to restart everything? And do we need to restart it as we knew it before? I think we need to rethink some of the things that we have been doing or things that we have been having to have in place to determine what is actually necessary and what can we do differently. I think from a perspective of policymakers, it's looking at how do we use that thought process to think about innovation, to think about what we can do and do it differently. It might be more virtual care, more virtual opportunities, not only in healthcare, but everywhere, and learn from it.
And what piece of advice or suggestion would you make to residents in Northumberland as we enter this new phase?
I have two messages. First of all, thank you. Thank you for working through the last 4.5 months of social distancing, of isolating if you were ill, of protecting each other. And my second message is keep doing it. We're not out of the woods. I think I've said it several times before, it is not a sprint. This is a marathon. We are going to be in this for a while longer. And we need to be cognizant of, with the fall, the potential of the flu, the ability for things to look very similar, we are going to have to be very, very careful. So keep doing what we learned to do 4.5 months ago.
Linda Davis, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was my conversation with Northumberland Hills Hospital CEO, Linda Davis. I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, you can also email me at that same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.